Disc 2.
Sanchez took his leave, and the Balliol College was made fast, as close to the bank as she could be warped. Men were sent aloft to hang her topmasts with leaves, so that no patrol vessel out at sea might spot us, and Sanchez sent men aboard to unload the cargo. This meant work for me, making sure they pinched nothing, and by the time the last bale was out, I was running with sweat. That night, Spring called a council in his cabin. I don't suppose I've listened to a more interesting discussion in my life, though, unless it was Grant and Lee meeting in the farmhouse, or Lucan and my old pal Cardigan clawing at each other like female cousins at Balaclava.
600, says Spring. It'll mean 15 inches for the bucks, and I want 2 bucks for every female, and no damn calves.
That's an inch under the old measure, Captain, says Kinney. Tight for Dahomey's. Why, they're near as big as Mandingo's, and Mandingo's take you 16 inches easily.
I've seen the Portuguesers carry Mandas in less than that, says Sullivan. They put bucks in with wenches. Reckon they spend all their time on top of each other and save space that way. Spring didn't join in their laughter.
I'll have no mixing of male and female, he growled. That's the surest way to trouble. I'm surprised at you, Mr. Sullivan.
Just a joke, sir, but I reckon 16 inches if I dance 'em regular.
I'm obliged to you for your opinion. Dance or not, they get 15 inches, and the women 12.
Kinney shook his head.
That won't do, sir. These Dahomey bitches take as much as the men any day. Sideways packing is no use either, the way they're shaped.
Put 'em head to toe, they'll fit, says Sullivan.
You'll lose 10, maybe more, in the 100, says Kinney. That's a $10,000 loss.
I'll have no loss, cries Spring. We'll ship nothing that's not A1, and the bastards will have fresh fruit with their poles each day and be danced night and morning. Do you hear?
Even so, sir, insisted Kinney. 12 inches won't...
Comber spoke up for the first time. He was pale and sweating heavily. Mind you, we all were. But he looked seedier than the others.
Perhaps Mr. Kinney is right, sir. Another inch for the women.
When I want your advice, Mr. Comber, I'll seek it, snapped Spring. I know you, sir. You're tender of black sheep.
I don't like unnecessary suffering and death, sir, it's true.
Then, by God, you shouldn't have shipped on a slaver, roars Spring. Damnation! 40 pieces a pound, Mr. Comber. That's what an ordinary buck will fetch in Havana these days, perhaps more. $1,000 a head. Now take note, Mr. Comber, of what your extra inch can mean. A $40,000 loss for your owner. Have you thought of that, sir?
I know, sir, says Comber, but 40 dead gives you the same loss and...
Damnation take you! Will you dispute with me?
Spring's eyes were blazing.
Do you think I don't take as much thought to have 'em hale and happy as you, you impudent pup? It's dollars I'm saving, not souls, Mr. Comber. Heaven help me, I don't know why you're in this business.
He sat glaring at Comber and then turned to the others.
15 and 12, gentlemen. Is that clear?
Kinney sighed.
Very good, Captain. You know my views.
I do, Mr. Kinney, and I respect them. They are grounded in experience and commercial sense, not in humanitarian claptrap picked up from scoundrels like Tappan and Garrison. The genius of universal emancipation, eh, Mr. Comber? You'll be quoting to me in a moment. Genius of ill-digested crap! Don't contradict me, sir. I know your views, you damned hypocrite, you!
You will take personal responsibility for the welfare of the females, Mr. Comber, and they won't die, sir, because like you and Mr. Flashman yonder, they haven't read Seneca, so they don't know that qui mori didicit servire dedidici. Who has learned to die has learned how not to be a slave. If they did, we'd be out of business in a week.
Comber sat mumchance, thankful when the discussion turned to the arrival of King Gizo the next day at Apokoto, some miles upriver. Spring wanted to meet him for a palaver, and said that Kinney and Comber and I should come along, with a dozen of the hands, while Sullivan began packing the first slaves who would be arriving at the Barracoons. I was all in favour of getting off the Balliol College for a few hours, But when we boarded the crew's big canoe the next day, I wasn't so sure. Kinney was distributing a carbine and cutlass to each man. Spring himself took me aside and presented me with a very long-barreled pistol.
"You know these," says he,
and I told him I did. It was one of the early Colt revolvers. Very crude they look today, but they were the wonder of the world then.
"American army guns," says he. "Gizo would give his throne for them, and I intend to use them in driving a special bargain with him. You can demonstrate them for him. Get Kinney to give you a needle gun and cutlass as well."
"Do you think we'll need them?" says I.
"Would you rather go unarmed into the presence of the most bloodthirsty savage in the West Africa?" says he. "No, Mr. Flashman. I don't expect we shall need to use our weapons, not for a moment, but I fear the Greeks even when I'm bearing gifts to 'em. Do you see?"